And as the hours go by today, I assume that some of you will be a little bit uncomfortable since it's a fast day and we're not eating. And if we're going to be suffering anyway for Asar B'Teves, we might as well understand why we're suffering. What is there about Asar B'Teves that makes it into a Tanis? And as we just read in the Slichas, it's not only the 10th of Teves, but the 8th of Teves, the 9th of Teves. These were all tragic days, and because of that, we have a fast. So Shaila is, what is this Tanis all about? So in the bigger view of things, you know that there are 6 Tanesim a year, which is a very interesting number, because how many days are there in a lunar year? There are 354. The relationship of 6 to 354, before you take out your calculators, is 1 to 59. Anybody that learns Yoredeia knows that 1 in 60 is the cutoff point in which we say something is nullified. Chazal apparently wanted that the Tanesim should have an effect during the entire year, but they didn't want us to suffer too much. So they gave us the minimum amount of Tanesim that would not be batel b'shishim in the entire year. Hence, 6 Tanesim for 354 days, 1 to 59. Out of the 6 Tanesim, 4 of them have to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We're putting aside Yom Kippur, the Tanis Doraisa, and we're putting aside Tanis Esther, that we fast to remember that when they went to Milcham against Amalek, they fasted. But the 4 fasts that we have for the Churban HaBayis are, we have when the siege is placed around the walled city of Yerushalayim, which according to Rabbi Akiva is why we have Asar B'Teves. Then the next stage was that the enemy broke through. And it wasn't easy. It didn't go that from Asar B'Teves they put the siege and then they were able to break through in Tammuz. It was a whole year and a half later. It took 18 months for the siege to be effective, so the Babylonian army was able to break through the walls of Yerushalayim, and that was on Tes Tammuz, not Shivas HaBetammuz. The breaching of the walls in the first base of Migdash is on Tes Tammuz. Now, why do we fast on Shivas HaBetammuz? Because that's when the walls were breached the second time, in the time of the Romans. So Chazal transferred the Tanis from Tes Tammuz to Shivas HaBetammuz, since we that live in Golis today are mostly directly affected by the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the breaching is the second stage. The third stage was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself on Tisha B'Av. And the last stage from Bayis Rishon was when Gedaliah was assassinated. Because even after the tsaris of having the siege of Asar B'Teves, having the breaching of the walls a year and a half later on the 9th of Tammuz, and the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, there still was a population left in Eretz Yisrael that still could have continued Yishuv HaAretz in some small measure until Gedaliah was assassinated, and at that point everybody was afraid of the wrath of Bavel, so they picked themselves up and they left. As the language of the Rambam is, it's as if you have a fire that has a few coals that are still glowing, and then somebody comes and puts out the coals. That was Som Gedaliah. So those are the 4 fasts that we have because of the Churban HaBayis. And the Poskin Zechariah brought down the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis says, it brings down the Pasuk, Som HaRevi'i, the fast of the 4th, Som HaChamishi, the fast of the 5th, Som HaShvi'i, the fast of the 7th, Som HaAsiri, the fast of the 10th, Yiyeh LeBeis Yehuda L'Sos L'Simcha, in the future will be days of rejoicing. And the Gemara tells us what each day stands for. The fast of the 4th is the 4th month, the 9th day of Tammuz, when the city was breached. The Tzom HaChamish is Tisha B'Av. The Tzom HaShvi'i, the 7th month, is Tishrei. And then we have a Shailah Tzom HaAsiri. So everybody thinks, well, Tzom HaAsiri is no Shailah. That's Asar B'Teves. However, it's a Machlokas Tanoyim. Rabbi Akiva says, Taka, the fast of the 10th month is the 10th day of Teves, when the siege was put in. But Rabbi Shimon says, Einani Dairish Kach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's the fast of Teves is not the siege of Yerushalayim. Why? Because he doesn't want the Pasuk to be going out of historical order. If you learn like Rabbi Akiva, so we're saying the fast of the 4th, the 5th, 7th, and 10th, what's the fast of the 10th? When the siege was put on. But the siege was placed in the beginning. That's chronologically the first thing. And it bothered Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says the fast of the 10th is rather speaking about when the news of the destruction reached Bavel. Because we're told in Navi that it reached Bavel on the 5th of Tammuz, of Teves, and that's the fast of the 10th month, is 5 Teves, when the news reached the Golos. And if you look at the language of the Slichas that we just said in Eskra Matzaik, so Ataka mentions this as one of the tragedies. Bevo Eli HaPolit Lemor Hukso HaIr. So the author of the first Slich of Eskra incorporates Rav Shimon Shita that the tragedy of Teves is the fact that the refugee came and told us that the city was destroyed. So we have a machlokes what the fast of the 10th month is, whether it's the placing of the siege like Rabbi Akiva, and that's commonly what we understand. And then there's Rav Shimon that's talking about an event at the end when the news reaches Bavel, and we say that also Yom HaShmuak Yom HaSreifa. They made the day that they heard the news as if it was the day of the destruction itself. And that concept has some ramifications today, halacha l'maisa, because there were questions about people who perished in the Holocaust, and there's no known date for when they died, but the family was given news on a certain day. Those people heard, let's say on a given day, somebody who survived the camp said that I want you to know that I saw that your parents died. I don't remember when it was. So there is a tshuva sefer called the Beis Mordechai, and he wants to say, based on Rav Shimon Shit, Asu Yom HaShmuak, Yom HaSreifa, that the day that they found out that their parents died, that's the day of the Yortzeit. I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa, because Rav Sternbach is chaylik on this, in Shuvas van Hagas, he's not masking to this. But you see that this idea, Asu Yom HaShmuak, Yom HaSreifa, that the day you hear the news might have the halachic power of the day of the tragedy itself, that's what we have from Rav Shimon. So this is the fast of Teves. And we know Asar B'Teves is special because the Abu Jerham says that had this come out on Shabbos, we'd fast. And also the Rosh Hashiva has commented on this. And there are two reasons why it's so. One of them is Reb Chaim that says that by the Tanesim, the Navi focuses on the month. The month, the Tanis of this month, of that month. So the day is not so critical, except for Asar B'Teves. Because there the Navi Yeschezkel was told to Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh, on this very day, there's going to be the tragedy. And since it says Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh, Asar B'Teves cannot be moved. And if you look again at the Slicha, so the Slicha says L'zikaron La'am Nomes V'Nivze Es Etzem Hayoyim Hazeh. So when you learn the background, Mamish, this Slicha is so full of interesting inyanim. So they quoted the Etzem Hayoyim Hazeh because that's what's Koveya. The Asar B'Teves could never be moved. The Rosh Hashiva said over from Rav Yaakov, said over from the Alta, that what's special about the Asar B'Teves is that the other events were tragic, while Asar B'Teves was more of a warning. It was an azhara. It was a warning because the fact that the enemy is around the city, that always can stop. That itself is not tragic. It's a warning that things could become bad. And that makes Asar B'Teves different than the other Tanais. Now, we look at the Slicha mentions that 8 and 9 were also tragedies. 8 was because we were forced to translate the Chumash into Greek. That's the first thing that's mentioned. Diachani b'shmonebo u'melech yovanin soni lichtov dasivanis. So what's the big problem? What's so terrible? A lot of us are very happy to have art scroll translations on the Gemara. So what's so terrible that we have to translate the Gemara into Greek? So on the simplest level, a translation never does justice to the original text. If you look at the cover of the art scroll Gemara, it doesn't say a translation of the Talmud. It says something like an elucidated aid to the study of the Talmud, but doesn't say translation. And if you look at the Haskamas to the art scroll, you'll see because the Gedolim did not want to be called a translation. A translation implies that in this new language you have the text as it is. And there's no way to really translate something, especially Chumash that has such amkus, that has such depth, and that every word and every letter and every crown has significance. To translate that into another language is to actually degrade it, to say this is what it means. In the Italian language, the word for translation and traitor is very similar. Because they say every translation is actually a traitor to the original text. So the miyat of Kavod HaTorah, of taking Chumash and putting it into a language that doesn't convey its full depth, that is itself the Churban of the eighth day of Teves. It's interesting, the translations on the Gemara have an interesting history. Though Artsko successfully did it, there were at least two earlier attempts to make translations of the Gemara. Neither of them was successful. Rav Yisrael Salanta had a plan to translate the Gemara into French. He thought at the time that French was the language of the intelligentsia, he thought it would be proper that it should be available to those who speak French. And even though it meant it opens up the Gemara to be studied by Goyim, it's Nuas HaMusar, it says, Rav Yisrael said, I know people ask me and I have answers for them. It doesn't say what the answers are, but in Tshuvas Bir Mayim Chayim, in Tshuva Yud Zayin, he speaks about this interesting sugya about teaching Torah to Goyim, which comes up very often. So why didn't it work out? Because he couldn't find a scholar who wrote a literary French who would be subservient to Rashi and Tosfos and to translate the proper way. So he canceled the project. In the time of the Chassam Sofer, there was an attempt to translate the Gemara into German, and the Chassam Sofer initially gave a haskama to it. But then when they saw that the translator again was not translating it according to the Ruach of the Gedolim, so he wrote a letter in which it publicly retracted from the Haskama. It wasn't until Art Scroll that we have today a translation that has the Haskama of the Gedolim. It's not the first good translation, because in the beginning of the Golden Age of Spain, about before the year 1000, there was a translation of the Gemara made into Arabic. I don't know if we have even a remnant of it. But there were Gedolim at that time who did translate the Gemara into Arabic. So that's the events of the 8th. The most interesting thing is the event of the 9th. What happened on the 9th of Teves? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Hilchas Tanis, in Tuf Kuf Pei, it lists all the days of Tanesim, and it says, and the 9th of Teves was also a day of Tanis, v'lo noda lonum alma, and it's not known why. So the Mechaber says we know that the 9th of Teves was a day of Tanis, so we don't know why. Now, it seems that our Baal Slichus knew why, because he says it's the passing of Ezra. But the truth is, this was a machlekes, because other Sfarim say that Ezra died on the 10th of Teves, and that leaves it open what happened on the 9th of Teves. So this has been always a very interesting problem to try to figure out, so what is the secret behind the 9th of Teves, with which we'll close. There's a sefer written in Spain called the Ravid Sefer HaKabbalah. Kabbalah here does not mean mysticism, it means history. He wrote the history of the Jewish people until his time. He was killed in 1198 in Spain. And he records that one of the greatest success stories we have in Spain was Rav Shmuel HaNogit. He was a Talmid Chacham in the Rosh Yeshiva, was made the Grand Vizier of one of the Islamic city-states in Spain. And he lived a long life, was very wealthy. Some say the Alhambra Palace in Spain was actually built by him, not Jewish sources, but the secular sources say. And he was successful in being a Jew who was a leader in an Arabic country, which takes a lot of midos tovos to be able to diffuse the jealousy. When he passed away, his son Yosef HaNogit took over, and this is not Lashon Hara since the Ravid writes it. He said that Rav Yosef had many of his father's admirable traits, but not his father's humility, and because of that, he aroused the jealousy of the Arabs, and eventually there was a pogrom. He was killed, and there was a pogrom in the city. The Ravid says this happened on the 9th of Teves, and he claims that Chazal Baruach HaKadosh saw the fall of Rav Yosef HaNogit and the pogroms of the city, and they said even in advance, hundreds of years before, that the ninth day of Teves would be a day of fasting because of that later tragedy. Not everybody accepts that, but that's an interesting possibility. Another interesting possibility, which explains certainly why Chazal say, Lo noidulon, we don't talk about why the ninth of Teves was a tragedy, is because that was the birth of Yeshu. The Rishonim that figured out that December 25th in the year 1 was the ninth of Teves, and because of that, it was a fast, because of all the trouble that the Jews had living in the Christian world. And therefore, they made it a fast. And obviously, it's lo noy de la nebezeh. They didn't publicize the reason. I heard B'Shem Rav Moshe Shapiro from Eretz Yisrael that he believed that that's the true reason. The last reason is the most interesting. And that is that where the Shulchan Aruch says we don't know the reason for the ninth of Teves, there's a note from Rav Baruch Tumim Frankel that cites a book called Toldos Yesho, the history of Yesho, and there it has a fascinating story. When Christianity began, the people who were the early Christians were basically Jews off the derech. Just like today you have conservative, you have reform. They parade under the label of Jews, but they're not really, they don't have a mesorah of what Judaism accurately is. So it was a dangerous thing. So there was a Tanna by the name of Rav Shimon, and he decided that the only way to save Klal Yisrael from this trouble was to go underground and become a leader of the Christian church. A rabbi is going to become the leader of the Christian church, and from inside, he will separate the Christians from the Jews. And according to Toldos Yesho, he called together other rabbanim and asked them, would you share the aveira that I'm going to do by leaving Klal Yisrael and be a secret Jew, but outwardly become a Christian leader, which he did. He became the first bishop of Rome. And according to some, it's Paul, Peter, I don't know exactly who he became, but he instituted the idea that their day of rest would be Sunday, and he introduced a literature that made their laws different than Jews in order to save Klal Yisrael from the danger of having this fake Judaism become spread out. And because he had to live, so to speak, outwardly as the Bishop of Rome, but inwardly at Tzadik and the Talmud Chacham, it was a tremendous tragedy. And according to this manuscript, when he died on the 9th of Teves, so the Chazal made that a day of Tannis, that we should fast on his yard site, that this became necessary. So that's the last shot on what the 9th day of Teves is. So in summary, we have the Slichas say it's the passing of Ezra. We have the Ravid saying it's the pogrom that brought Rav Yosef Hanogid ben Shmuel Hanogid down. We have the possibility that it was because of the birthday of Yesho, or it was the yurtzeit of the first bishop of Rome, who was really a Tanna, who went underground to save Klal Yisrael. All of these are the possibilities of the ninth. So we see that the ninth is shrouded in secrecy, and even Asar B'Tavis, that we speak about the siege, that's the Machlokes Tanoim, is that the siege was really when the news reached the Golus to the Navi that on the 5th of Teves. So those things still need a birur. I'd just like to close a little bit away from the history and more into feeling the Tannis. It's very difficult for a person to say, you know, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, so because of that I'm suffering, I'm not eating today. We never had the Beis HaMikdash in our life's experience. So it's very hard to have a sense of mourning for what you, if you lose something that you've never had. So I'd like to point out just one nakud that I think resonates with us. You know, a lot of times a person gets up and they have to learn, they have Torah mitzvahs, davening, and they're lacking a little bit of enthusiasm. I'm sure it's never happened to you, but it happens to me and I'm sure plain people. That we go up and down, like Rabbi Tam says, there's times of ava and times of sinna. There's ups and downs in spirituality. What do we need? We need some inspiration. The Beis HaMikdash was a place of inspiration. When we say Kimi Tzion Teitze Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, what does it mean from Tzion went out Torah? Did they take the Daf Yomi and put in neon letters in Migdal David that from Tzion goes out Torah? So Tosfos tells us people would be Oilel Regel. You have the whole nation of people, many of whom were farmers. Three times a year they came up to Yerushalayim and they saw the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. By seeing the Mesiras Nefesh, the dedication of the Kohanim, these people were inspired that when they went home, they could learn, they could do Avodas Hashem, they would have a picture of what Avodas Hashem looks like. It's unfortunate that I don't know if we have in Svarim a description in detail of the effect that the Beis HaMikdash had, but we have a letter written to a guy describing the effect the Beis HaMikdash had on one of the emperors of Rome. Close to the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, there was a Jewish king by the name of Agrippa, and he wrote a letter to a mad Roman emperor called Caligula. Caligula was interested in having a statue of himself placed in all the temples of the world at that time, and Agrippa wrote him a letter to ask him to forgo the idol for the Beis HaMikdash. And in Agrippa's letter, he tells this Roman Emperor Caligula, he says, when your grandfather, who was also the Roman Emperor, came to Jerusalem to visit, he was so impressed with the purity of the Beis HaMikdash that when he went home to Rome, he could speak about nothing else. And he told the Roman officials that when he was in Israel, he experienced something like being out of this world. It was like an out-of-world experience. It was so spiritual. Now, Roman emperors probably seen a lot in the world, and yet the Beis HaMikdash made an impression on this guy different than any other place in the world. He felt this place is special. This place is spiritual. So he can make a Kal Vachomer. If a Gentile Roman emperor went to the Beis HaMikdash and could talk of nothing else about, you can imagine a Yid goes to the Beis HaMikdash and what he would feel and what a chizuk he would get, the enthusiasm he would get, that afterwards he'd be able to get up in the morning and daven, he'd be able to be kovei itim l'tayra because he had a model of what Avedas Hashem means. That maybe resonates a little bit with us. We would all like to live inspired lives. We'd like some enthusiasm for what we're doing. We're doing it anyway. We're here in yeshiva. But there are two ways to do it. One of them is a schlep, and the person looks at his watch. Oh, another hour for Seder. Like, well, how am I going to survive? Another person is enthusiastic about what he's doing. We all agree that to live enthusiastically, to live inspired lives, is to live successfully. But we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had a tremendous asset, we had a battery to give us that inspiration. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we lost that inspiration. And we suffer because of that. And that could be something that Asar B'Tavis we feel, the lack of a Beis HaMikdash to inspire us. We should be zoiche that through the mitzvahs that we do, and we fight to do those mitzvahs, we don't have such great source of inspiration. Hashem should see our efforts, and we should be zoiche to have that inspiration restored.